Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Bad news for those among you who like to golf, because the Golf Union of Ireland has just confirmed that golf clubs are closing under level 5 restrictions. We're going to be talking about that and gyms and tennis and other outdoor sports a little bit later in the programme, and we're interested in your thoughts as to whether they should be allowed to go ahead and if so, why so. Right now though, we're turning to the top story of the day, and bonkers and absolutely ridiculous. These are just some of the words used by opposition parties to describe the situation, where Health Minister Stephen Donnelly was unaware until last night of the HSE's move to tell thousands of people to do their own contact tracing. And the Taoiseach didn't know about it until he received a text of the Irish Times story. Well, today over 2,000 people who are positive for COVID-19 are receiving a text message telling them to contact their own contacts as the system is overwhelmed. And it's not as if the government hadn't been warned about the problems that were happening on the ground. Here is Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald in the Dáil today.
Because the warning signs were there. Dr. Anne Dee, a specialist in public health in the Midwest, rang the alarm bell loudly and clearly 2 weeks ago. She made it clear that regional health departments don't have enough staff to do contact tracing. Here's what she said, Taoiseach. She said, we can't cope with the volume of work. There are not enough of us. She said, outbreaks will be missed and the situation will get worse. She said, the regional public health system is as close to collapse as it has been at any time before.
Well, in a moment, we'll be speaking to David Cullinan, Sinn Féin TD and spokesperson on health. But first, we're joined by that same Dr. Anne Dee, referenced there by Mary Lou MacDonald, a public health specialist and member of the IMO Public Health Committee. And thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Dee. We heard there from Mary Lou MacDonald some of what you said 2 weeks ago when you spoke out about the problems that you were seeing on the ground. Can you describe a little more what you were seeing and how alarmed were you?
Well, I think what she said is what I said. We were very alarmed at the time. Public health departments at regional level were really strained and struggling and having to prioritise in a way that, you know, wasn't satisfactory to us. Since that time, there has been a massive drive to improve staffing on the ground, and there is very active recruitment going on. So I have to say, you know, things have changed apace. Mm. And while we don't yet have a lot of extra people on seats, we are actively recruiting. We are actively getting in people, even on a temporary basis, to train up and fill those posts while we're waiting for more long-term recruitment. Okay. And there's also active recruitment for the contact management system, for which I can't really speak because I don't really have anything to do with it. But I know there's active recruitment going on there too. So I think, you know, as a country, we need to think, you know, it's not overly helpful for the public to feel that, you know, the health service has fallen over. We have lost a battle. We haven't lost the war against COVID. In this country, you know, we have done well. We've compared to the UK, if we had followed the UK model, 1,000 extra Irish people would be dead by now. We lost almost 2,000 of our population. We would have lost 3,000. If we had followed the US model, probably 1,500 extra Irish people would be dead by now. So we have done relatively well compared to our much more well-resourced neighbours on either side of the water. And we must remember that. And we must remember that, you know, we've lost this battle. We are now regrouping. You know, this lockdown is going to be immensely helpful as part of that regrouping. And in the next phase of the battle, we expect that public health departments will be much more well resourced.
Okay,
and there's one piece missing in that, and that is there's still an ongoing issue around the status of public health specialists who need to be now awarded their consultant contract so that they can lead these teams of people and they don't just all arrive into departments, you know, without any structure to direct the whole outbreak management. So we need that final piece to really happen quickly, and we're very concerned that that's not happening at pace.
Okay, and I'll ask you about that actually in a little more detail in just a second. And I absolutely take your point that, as you say, in your opinion, that things have gone much better than they could have gone had we followed the other strategies deployed by our neighbours on either side. I think, though, people are confused as to how we ended up in a place after the lengthy lockdown during the summer where we had time to prepare, that we could have ended up so quickly when it came to a second wave, overwhelmed. And I'm just wondering, can you just talk us through how, in your view, that happened and how we can stop it from happening again?
I suppose the one piece, there obviously was delay and a little bit maybe of complacency. And the one piece that surprised everybody was the speed with which, or the, not so much even the speed, but the, how early the second wave started. We didn't really expect it until the winter season. We thought, we all knew there was going to be a second wave, but I think we were surprised when at the end of the summer it began again at quite a pace. And we worked, you know, we were from the end of July, we've been really working our socks off trying to keep on top of it. So it could have been an awful lot worse, you know, even now, but it's, you know, it's since the end of July until now, we have battled and we have worked so hard and we have contained it. So it's unfortunate, and obviously there has been delays, and obviously staffing wasn't put in place quickly enough, but as I say, it's, you know, we need to look forward, and you know, hopefully we'll all be celebrating Christmas in some capacity with our families. You know, if we can just work together as a state, if we can really just take on those public health messages of, you know, staying at home, wearing your mask, washing your hands, you know, watching your sneeze and you're coughing. I know, this is so important.
Of course it is, absolutely. I know that you were reported 2 weeks ago when you first raised concerns about being overwhelmed. You were saying in one instance, one of your colleagues who asked not to be named came in, sat in the office and said they saw more than 150 cases come in, but none of your staff could go near them because they didn't have time. I'm just wondering, how much damage do you think has been done in the last 2 weeks in terms of the spread of the virus? Because, and indeed, as we see again this weekend with people having to do their own contact tracing, and because the system has broken down, how damaging is that in terms of the spread?
Well, I suppose it depends on how you know, the main factor, as Philip Nolan pointed out today, is the public role in containing the virus, the behaviour of the public in terms of, you know, avoiding crowded situations, not congregating, avoiding large parties with alcohol, all that stuff. So that contributed. The lack of staffing in public health departments and that, I think, that really only became an issue as numbers started, you know, when we spoke, or when I spoke out 2 weeks ago. That really was the breaking point for us. But up until that point, I think, you know, I don't think that was a huge factor, because I think we were staying on top of it. So, you know, I think that it's a confluence of events, and I mean the they all contribute. So public behaviour contributes, the lack of staffing in public health departments contributes, the lack of ability for the contact management system then, which is a support to the departments, also, and that became extra strained when the departments became strained, because, you know, they were having to take up a lot of the slack that we weren't able to deal with.
If we could just look forward then, as you've said, we should really do. We're told by Colm Henry from the HSE, the HSE's chief clinical officer, that at the moment they expect to continue bringing in 60 to 70 new staff to the contract tracing service every week over the coming period. Is that enough, or how long will it take for us to have enough for the contact tracing system to be fit for purpose?
I can't really speak for the contact tracing system. I think they have to answer for their own staffing projections and what they think. I think there has been a staffing projection done for public health departments, and that's where I sit. And I think that public health, that modelling forward of the amount of staff we need is reasonably good. I think it's reasonably robust. It's very difficult in these uncertain waters to be absolutely certain. But I think, you know, if we can get the staffing in place that has been modelled for public health departments, that will be an enormous help to public health departments and will help us to be able to stay on top. And I think there will now possibly be more flexibility as well around, if we do start to be getting strained, maybe a little bit more proactive management of that situation, you know, will take place.
Okay.
I sincerely hope and presume that similar things are happening with the contact management system, so that they're getting in, you know, appropriate numbers of staff as well. All right. I can't really comment on that.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. That's Dr. Anne Dee, consultant in public health. And we're joined as well, as I said, by David Cullinan, who is Sinn Féin TD. And thank you for staying on the line there, David. You heard what Anne had to say. You know, it was unfortunate what happened, but there were a number of things working against the system, not least that the second wave began earlier than expected.
Yeah, first of all, I think Anne speaks a lot of sense, and I want to commend her and all of those in the public health teams who, in my view, have done and are doing Trojan work. And any problems in the system obviously isn't down to a lack of effort on their part. So I think we have to commend all of those who are on the front line in testing and tracing and doing their best. I think she's right in saying that we may have lost the battle, but not the war. But I think it's a bit different. I think we lost the summer. And we lost the summer months because we didn't invest to the extent that we should have had done in testing and tracing. And Anne was saying that, but as were others in opposition and others outside of government and outside of politics, was saying that we need to ratchet up testing and tracing. We all know that the key ingredients to wrestle back control and indeed stay ahead of the virus is test, trace and isolate. And we simply don't have the volume of staff and capacity that we need. I'm pleased to hear from Anne that we have seen some improvement in the last number of weeks. I've been trying to get the details of how many additional staff have been taken on in the last number of weeks. I can't get the numbers. What we were told when the government published their plan, their roadmap, and they had a section on testing and tracing is that 1,200 additional staff would be employed. I still haven't been given a figure as to how many of those 1,200 staff have been employed. And can I make one point if I can, Sarah? I have figures from the response to Be On Call for Ireland. And these are people that responded as far back as June and July to that call. And we have 1,480 frontline staff or potential frontline staff that were approved by the system that are available to work that have not been offered any work since June or July. And within that, there is 64 clerical officers. There are 64 medical laboratory aides. And there is also 14 medical scientists. Now, I don't know for the life of me why those staff were not employed in testing and tracing. And likewise, we have a lot more staff as well. So there's hundreds of people that could have been employed from that pool of people alone into the testing and tracing system, and they were not. And that's on the government, and that's on the Minister for Health.
Okay, well, obviously I can't speak to that because I don't have the information, and I don't know what the HSE response is to that. But if we do get a response to it from the HSE later in the programme, we'll bring it to you. Finally then, David, what needs to happen now to fix the problem? Because we hear the HSE is recruiting as fast as they can in terms of the 60, 70 a day. They are on the case now.
Well, first of all, I want to accept that the growth in demand is obviously partly down to rising cases. So I think we have to accept that, and I do accept that, and we have to be practical in terms of we're starting from where we are. I think we did miss the summer months, and I think that was a mistake of government. I do think we need to accelerate recruitment. So I've just made the point that if we have 1,480 people who applied to the state to work and are available to work, and many of those are clerical officers and medical lab aides and other areas in the health service that could be brought in even on a temporary basis to do testing and tracing, I think that they should. So I don't accept that it should be only 60 or 70 a week. I think we can do much better than that. We have to do better than that, and we have to make sure that we use the next number of weeks very wisely, because we're on the eve of restrictions being brought in. We're asking people to make huge sacrifices, and the least that they should expect of the Minister for Health and the government and the state is that we will get it right on testing and tracing.
Okay, David Cullinan from Sinn Féin, thank you very much for joining us this evening.